Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading to you a passage of Scripture from Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews deals with great individuals who had faith in God. Because of that faith, they lived in obedience to the will of God. And because of their living for God, they were promised a home. They were promised a heavenly home. This was their search. They lived upon the earth, but they desired a heavenly home. And because of that desire to live in a heavenly home, they served the God of heaven. They believed in God. They believed in the word that God had delivered unto them. And because of that faith, they followed God and lived in obedience to the will of God. Thus far, in this particular chapter of Scripture, the writer has spoken of Abel, of Enoch, of Noah, of Abraham, and of Sarah. Very briefly, he has described their life of obedience to the will of God. And now, he says, these all died in faith. They died in faith because they lived in faith. Faith was the guiding principle of their life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And by that faith, these individuals that are mentioned in this 11th chapter have received a good report. Because they served God, God has remembered them. And God has put them forth as examples of obedient faith. God has described for us the actions of their life so that you and I might consider those examples and might follow them. We are to have the faith that these individuals had. Abel obeyed God. Enoch obeyed God. Noah, Abraham, and Sarah obeyed God. Their life was a life of faith. And they had received a promise from God. God would save them eternally. God would deliver them unto a heavenly home. They saw that promise afar off. They did not realize that promise while they lived upon the earth, but they saw that promise afar off, even as you and I must see the hope of a heavenly home afar off. We know that in the distant future, after this world has been destroyed, after the Lord Jesus Christ has come in judgment, after the dead have been resurrected, after all of humanity has been judged, the righteous will be delivered into that heavenly home. We see that afar off. They were persuaded of that promise. They believed the promise that God had spoken unto them. They believed what God said to them. They believed that God would do what He had spoken. They believed that God had the ability and the power to do as He promised, and they embraced the promises. The promises of God must be seen afar off. We must be persuaded of them, and we must embrace them. The promises that God has made to us concerning a heavenly home must be the guiding principle of our life. Our life must be governed and controlled by the desire to live with God eternally. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We must refuse the temptations of the devil. We must remove ourselves from the pleasures of the world. We must, in all of our time and energy, serve God. We must devote ourselves unto Him so that we might embrace the promise that God has made unto us. And because they saw these promises, they were persuaded of these promises, and they embraced these promises, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A stranger and a pilgrim is an individual who passes through. He does not remain. He does not take up residence. This world is not our home. This is where we were not meant to abide. But rather, God has promised unto us a heavenly abode. And therefore, we must confess, as these individuals of faith did so long ago, that we are strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. We must not become attached to the things of the earth. We must not fall in love with the things of the world. We are simply passing through. Our years and time here are very brief. They will be spent in a moment. Soon we will be gone. We will depart from this earth, never to return. They confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We are seeking a country, a heavenly country, a better country. We can seek this country, and we have the promise of this country because we are God's children. Galatians 3:26 through 29 speaks of God's family. The writer speaks of how we become members of this family, how we become the children of God. We must take advantage of the opportunity to become the children of God. We should desire to be the children of God. Not everyone is a child of God. We know by living in the physical realm that all children have different parents. Therefore, not all have the same opportunity. But by becoming children of God, we have the same opportunity. As the children of God, we have the promise of this heavenly, better country, this enduring country. Galatians 3:26 through 29 tells us how we become the children of God. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise long ago was made to Abraham, that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Of course, this promise would be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. This promise did not have earthly implications, but rather heavenly implications. If we are Christ, then we are an heir of this promise that was made to Abraham because we are Abraham's seed. We become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But faith must respond to Christ Jesus. Faith must obey Christ Jesus. We must come into Christ. We believe in Christ, but we must come into Christ. We are the children of God by faith. And as many as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are baptized into Christ because we have faith in Christ. Our faith in Christ as the one who is the heir of promise, the one of whom God spoke when He made that promise to Abraham, we become the children of God. And so there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. In the family of God, as children of God, having believed in Christ and having been baptized into Christ, we are all equal. One child is no better than the other child. One child is no more important than the other child. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the Lord God. Paul continues in Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When the time came for God to fulfill His promise made to Abraham in Christ Jesus, God sent Christ into the world. Jesus Christ was made of a woman. He lived under the law that had been given unto Moses. But His coming was to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might be adopted into the family of God. We have been adopted by as sons, because we have believed in Christ and have become united with Christ by baptism. We have been adopted as the sons of God. The proof of that sonship is that God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts, whereby we can call upon God as Father. As the children of God, we call upon God as Father. And as a child of God, as the sons and daughters of God, we have become an heir of God through Christ. Hence, we have been given this promise of a heavenly home with God in eternity. Because we are the children of God by faith and by being baptized into Christ. 1 John 3:1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. The world is that place of sin, that abode of unrighteousness. The world did not recognize the deity of Christ. They did not see Him as the fulfillment of the promise that had been made to Abraham. They rejected Him. In John's words, they did not know Him. And because they did not know Him, they will not know us, and we must not know them. We must separate ourselves from the world. We must tear ourselves away from the world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. God wants us to separate ourselves from the world. He wants us to live a life that is different from the world, that is not tainted and contaminated by the world. The world will drag us into sin. The world will cause us to be alienated from God. Therefore, we must separate ourselves from the world. We are strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. We must not fall in love with the world. We must not become attached to the world. The world must not be our friend. But rather, we must see the world as the enemy of God, because the world rejected Christ. And therefore, if we live as Christ desires that we live, if we follow Him in obedience to His will, if we have that faith that God wants us to have, the world will shun us and reject us. The Father has bestowed upon us great love that we are called the sons of God. And therefore we are to separate ourselves from the world as His sons, who are the heirs of eternal life. If we separate ourselves and come out from the world and live separately from the world, live differently from the world, live as God directs us to live, I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We are God's children, and therefore we are the heirs of this heavenly home. We should see that promise afar. We should be persuaded of that promise. We should embrace that promise. And we should confess that we are the children of God rather than the children of the world. And as we travel, we realize that we are not at home. We are not at home in this world. We are traveling toward that home. We are living a life that will bring us to that home. We serve God so that we might be worthy of that home. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Because we are strangers and pilgrims of the world, we are to abstain from fleshly lust. We are constantly battling against the lust of the flesh. The devil entices us by appealing to our lust. We must refuse that temptation. We must shun that fleshly desire. The apostle says that our fleshly lust wars against our soul. The world desires us to fall from God, to become alienated from God. The world desires that we live in the world and we live as the world. But we must abstain because we are strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. This world is not the abode of our soul. The Old Testament prophet Micah in the long ago at chapter 2 and verse 10 told the people of God, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. It is polluted, it shall destroy you even with a sore destruction." This world in which we presently live is polluted. This world in which we presently live is not our rest. This is not our final abode. And therefore, because it is polluted, it will destroy us, and Micah even says, with a sore destruction. We must shun the world. We must arise and depart out of the world. We must separate ourselves from the world. While we live in the world, we must not live as the world. We must not engage in the ways of the world, but rather we must be separate from the world and live lives that are different from the world. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, the apostle speaks of our eternal rest, and he says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." We live in the fleshly body. We live in what the Bible calls a tabernacle or a tent. The soul, the breath of God, lives within this mortal body. One day we will put away this mortal body, but we are confident that while we are at home in the body, while we live upon the earth, we are absent from the Lord. We have not yet arrived in that heavenly home. We do not live in that heavenly home because we live upon the earth, and therefore we were absent from the Lord. The Apostle Paul explained to the Philippian church a conflict that he had in his life when he said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." The apostle goes on to explain that it is more profitable for the Philippians that he abide here. But Paul had reached that point in his life where he wanted to depart from this life. He wanted God to take him home. He said that he was in a strait. He was in a time of decision, and this was a difficult decision. He had a desire to depart and to be with Christ. When we leave this world, we can be with Christ if we have lived in faith and if we have put Christ on in baptism, if we have become united with Him by being baptized into Him. When we leave this world, we go and abide with Christ. Philippians 2:15, the apostle speaks of the life that we are to live while we live upon the earth, as strangers and pilgrims, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We see from this passage of Scripture how different the world is from what we are to be. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The world is wicked. Many of the people in the world are evil and sinful. The world is polluted. In the midst of this wickedness, in the midst of this evil and sinfulness, we are to be blameless and harmless. We are to be without rebuke. We are to shine as lights in the world. The reason for this type of lifestyle is because we are the children of God, and we have embraced a heavenly promise. We desire a heavenly home. We do not wish to remain here, but rather we wish to live in heaven. Our home is heavenly, the home for which we look, the home which God has promised, the home of which we are persuaded, the home which we have embraced is a heavenly home, not an earthly home. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation is our manner of life. One version of Scripture uses the word citizenship. Jesus has called us into the kingdom of God, where we are citizens of the kingdom. Jesus discusses in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 the type of lifestyle that the citizens of the kingdom of heaven follow. Our conversation is in heaven. We have the promise of a heavenly home. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul is in prison. He's toward the end of his life. He's going to be killed because of his faith in Christ by the Roman government. And he says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." Paul sees a heavenly kingdom rather than an earthly kingdom. Paul sees that God is going to deliver him from every evil work. Paul would still die at the hands of the Romans, but he would be delivered into this heavenly kingdom. The Lord, Paul knew, was going to preserve him unto this heavenly kingdom because he saw, believed, was persuaded, and embraced an eternal promise that God had made. He would be preserved unto this heavenly kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We know that this earthly house is going to be dissolved. We know that there will come a time in our life when we will move out of this earthly house. And the longer we live, the more dilapidated this house becomes. We have aches and pains. We groan and moan because of the dilapidation of this earthly house. It will be dissolved, but we have a building from God. This is our confidence. This house has not been made with hands, and it is eternal in the heavens. In Colossians 1 and verse 5, Paul said, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The gospel is preached, telling individuals of a hope which is laid up in heaven. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is not in the continuation of earth. Our hope is not in our abiding here and living here upon the earth, but our hope is in heaven. In 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. As children of God, we are heirs of God. Through the promise that was made to Abraham, we have an inheritance. This inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and reserved in heaven." In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The home for which we dream, the home which we seek by faith and obedience, the home which we have embraced, is a heavenly home, and one day we will be welcomed home. God will welcome us into this heavenly home. God has promised us through Jesus Christ a heavenly home. And one day God will welcome us into this heavenly home. This heavenly home is incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade in its beauty or its glory. This is a heavenly home, prepared by the hands of Almighty God, made with those eternal hands that created the world, and we will be welcomed into this eternal abode. In Matthew 25:21, Jesus spoke to those faithful servants and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." This home will be a home of joy. There will be no tears, no frowns, no sorrows in that eternal land. All of the reasons that we are sorrowful here, all of the reasons that cause us to weep here, will be unknown in that land. God will enter us into the joy of the Lord. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, Jesus talks about the separation that will take place at the judgment. And those upon his right hand will hear him say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." From the foundation of the world, God has prepared a heavenly kingdom for those subjects who will be faithful to him and who will live in obedience to his will. Let us be as Adam, as Abel was, as Enoch was, as Noah, Abraham, and Sarah were. Let us see the promise that God has made. Let us be persuaded of that promise. Let us embrace that promise. And let us confess that this world is not our home, but rather we seek a heavenly home, waiting, desiring, expecting, fully confident that one day we will be welcomed into this eternal abode of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17, Paul writes to the bereaved Christians because of the death of their loved ones and speaks to them of that great hope of the resurrection and their going home. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." In heaven we will forever be with the Lord. We will live in that eternal rest, in that heavenly abode, with God, who has promised unto us everlasting life. May you see heaven afar. May you be persuaded of heaven. May you embrace the promise of heaven. And may you confess that you are a stranger and pilgrim upon the earth, seeking for heaven through obedience to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.